Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget, on Halloween, which is a week from tonight. Can you believe that? It's already Halloween, a week from tonight. All of us, myself, Gina Grad, and Randy Wang, we will be at the Queen Mary, not the gay bar in the valley, but the ship down in Long Beach.
Tim, you lied to me.
Well,
Tim, you lied to me, too.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
When you said we were going to the Queen Mary, I bought a new dance suit.
Oh, man.
I called Hedda Lettuce, made sure she was going to MC.
No, we're going to be out at Shipwreck. Out there in the Long Beach area.
Do they have a gay bar?
I don't believe they do. Oh. But Shipwreck, if you change a couple of letters around, that could be a gay bar, too. Who knows? thank you, Randy. Jesus, man. Wow. This is the station of hitting it on the head.
Captain Avioso.
Yeah, you can never just let anything float around. It has to be, you have to take a sledgehammer.
Quick, Randy, there's a horse. Beat it.
All right. Anyway, Shipwreck 2008. It's going on now, and we'll be there next Friday. Go to your website. The website is queenmaryshipwreck.com to get tickets. queenmaryshipwreck.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost 9 o'clock here in Los Angeles in Southern California. That means time for the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
I get along with Gina. Maybe not a huge fan.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
News time.
But at least he's honest.
Yes. You guys get along, right?
I think we do.
Yeah.
We've never had words.
Oh, he doesn't hate you. There you go. All right, what's going on with that news, Gina?
Well, the presidential candidates continued to make their rounds on the talk show circuit this week. Senator Barack Obama made an appearance on the early show today and explained why he felt more prepared for the presidency than Senator John McCain.
Wow. All right. What else was he going to say? Here we go. Yeah.
All I can say is this. We've had, over the last couple of months, I think, an interesting series of tests. And I think that I have been steadier. I think my advisors and my team and my organization, what we've built, has...
What is that noise? Are people rioting?
I think they're showing a clip inside of a clip of him at a rally.
Ah, oh, I see.
I think my advisors and my team and my organization, what we've built, has performed with the kind of calm, resolve, and deliberation that the White House needs right now. Any president is going to be tested by the enormity of the challenges that we face.
Now, if this guy was smart, actually, if he was smart, he would probably do what he's doing. But if I were this guy, he's 8 years old?
Yeah, 48.
He's 48 years old. He looks like that. He's got a great put-em, you know?
Yeah, he's cute. Easy on the eyes.
Decent shape. He could be rolling some decent tail in and out of that White House if he just offloaded the angry chick.
Yeah.
You go, dog!
And sent those kids packing to Chicago.
Well, maybe he'll have the best of both worlds
if he gets
the presidency.
I mean, if he does get divorced, the chicks will be lining up at that White House.
Number one.
Yeah, you'll
call
be there.
Call my name.
Yes. Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, it doesn't get much better.
In the oral office there.
Oh.
What? The Oval Office. That's what I said. The Oval Office there. And he could, I mean, he's not going to be settling for these fat chicks like Clinton. He is going to get some decent tail.
I'd probably have to get into a little bit better shape because there's going to seriously be some competition.
You got to, please.
Come on.
You got to start with those S factors every day. Not one that is, Sunday for 2 hours.
Wow.
All right. What else is going on with that news, Gina?
Well, you know how we spoke the other day, I think when Arsenio was here, about jealousy, and you didn't really understand why women wanted their men to be jealous for them on their behalf?
It
totally eludes you, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, I have an example of somebody taking you to putting that theory to the test, let's say.
Hey.
A Michigan woman who pleaded guilty to setting her ex-boyfriend on fire in Indiana has been sentenced to 40 years in prison.
Oh.
38-year-old Dorothy Hamilton pleaded guilty last month to one count of arson. Hamilton admitted pouring gas on her ex-boyfriend and throwing a lighter on him in 2006 after an argument where he suffered permanent scarring on his buttocks.
Mm.
Court documents state Hamilton attacked her boyfriend because he had not intervened when another individual looked at her in a sexual way.
Jesus Christ.
So, I don't know,
God
but it
almighty.
Happens.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine dating somebody who, just because somebody else looked at you, you're going to burn him to death?
I will set you aflame.
Jesus Christ.
I have a feeling that there were signs of craziness before that happened.
Yeah.
That he didn't pick up on.
Like
so
what?
He's sort of at fault, too.
A little bit. You got to blame the victim a little.
Yeah, you got to blame him mostly.
Yeah.
You know, she's just an idiot. She's crazy. But he took it.
He did.
Yeah, so he sort of, you know, he gets what he deserves there. You know, I don't think anyone should be burned to death. But that guy probably ignored 50 to 100 strong signals that she's nuts.
Right, but in a way, aren't you sort of... Well, it would happen to you then, and you wouldn't have any recourse, because he didn't go after the guy, he didn't try and kick his ass, he didn't try to defend his woman, and he got set on fire. So the same would happen to you, because I know that's not really your vibe.
Yeah, but see, but if Jennifer gave me signs, like 100 of them or so, that
stockpiling
she's nuts...
diesel fuel?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the toast is burnt, and she throws it at you. You know, that's one of them. You leave your socks next to the bed, and she takes them and chokes the cat to death with them. You know, something like that.
Why are these examples coming so readily to you? And I don't know.
What else is in the news, Gina?
She chokes the cat.
Right.
Anywho.
Yes, Gina.
Well, celebrities continue to weigh in on the election and show support for either Obama or McCain, and Ron Howard is no exception. In this first clip, Ron Howard dons his Opie gear and does a short pro-Obama skit intercut with dialogue from former Andy Griffith Show co-host Andy Griffith.
Yeah, this was very funny. I got to give this guy, Ron Howard, a lot of credit. Probably he's not going to be voting the way I'm voting. But he's not one of those guys that goes out and says, you got to vote for Obama or I'm moving to Italy.
Right.
He did a very, very funny piece. Where is it on the internet? That Funny or Die, is that what it's called?
FunnyorDie.com.
FunnyorDie.com. But it's hysterical. You got to see it. Go to FunnyorDie.com. And it really is creative. And I give him a lot of credit. However, I think it's the bottom of the ninth inning and Obama's up by 15 runs. There's two outs, 3-2 pitch. And then he comes out?
Yeah, a day late, a dollar short.
It does seem to be a little late.
Yeah. Well, we have two examples, and this is the first one.
Here we go.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Hope. You look like you got something on your mind, son.
Paul, why are people so set on staying on the same road that's been messing us up for so long?
Well, Hope, people are funny. Sometimes change scares them. They'd rather keep doing the same old thing that's been messing them up than change to the thing that could help them.
Like the time I wanted to fish for lake trout using peanut butter and jelly as bait?
That's right, O. You got stubborn and wouldn't switch no matter what I said.
When I'm a grown-up, I sure would like to vote for somebody as good as Mr. Obama.
Well, if you stay healthy and strong, avoid any felonies, stay away from the butterfly ballot, I bet you'll get a chance.
That's very good, man. Yeah. You got to see it. It's really worth checking out. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It's funny.
It's pretty funny.
All right, what
else? And in this second clip, Howard gets Happy Days castmate Henry Winkler involved in another political skit starring Richie Cunningham and the Fonz.
All righty. Here we go.
Hey, Cunningham, finish your homework.
Sure, Fonz. Hey, how did your date go with the Rodriguez twins?
Triplets. And mechanay saucer.
Ah, gee, Fonz, I sure hope our country gets itself back on track.
You know, I'll tell you something. 8 years ago, I thought to myself, okay, we got these presidents of the United States, Cheney, Bush. We should give them a shot. Was I rude? I was so rude.
You were wrong, Fonz?
Okay, that's the word. But see, now we can make it right, right? And after we vote, you want a double date? Yeah, my friend Janet Potowski. She's got this girlfriend from Alaska.
You mean the girl who shoots moose?
Wait a minute. Shoots moose? I thought she said she was loose.
All right, that was pretty cool. And Henry Winkler looks like he's about 35 years old.
Yeah, he aged very well.
I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
He's got to be doing one of those infomercials for like a cream or...
Well,
I don't know how he did that.
Tim, let's be serious for a minute. He looked 35 when he was 17.
Right.
So maybe he just never really changed. He looked like a middle-aged man in Happy Days.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but he looks great. I mean, he's 62 years old, and he looks like he's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
So whatever he's doing, man, Do what he does if you want to stay looking young.
Yeah.
No. All right, what else is going on in that news, Gina?
Well, if you recall, I said I might be moving overseas.
Oh, good.
Well, this is why. When faced with unaffordable monthly payments and relentless creditors, some see leaving the country as their only way out.
What?
So here's what happened. A Florida native named Carl, he doesn't want to use his last name, now is living overseas because he's afraid to move back to the United States because he cannot afford to pay his student loans. Mm. Carl stopped making his $450 a month payments after his family incurred some unexpected medical expenses and his $55,000 private loans went into default. That's when the phone calls from the debt collector started, and Carl decided just not to come back. Today, he estimates his private loans are more than $70,000, though he hopes to move home one day. For now, staying abroad is really his only options. And, you know, while most Americans are burdened with debt of some kind, student loan repayment can be a particularly scary prospect for young people struggling to start a career. Payments are often higher than expected, and the loans can't be easily discharged. Added pressure from debt collectors causes some grads to flee their loans by fleeing the country.
Oh, man. So you got to get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. What seems nice to you?
Well, I don't know. You may want to stay in this hemisphere. I mean, the time difference. If you go down and slide down to Mexico,
yeah,
maybe South America. I think you'd do well in South America.
But I don't speak Spanish.
I know, but that's sort of a novelty. You know, this Jewish chick down in...
Like Sephardic.
Yeah, it's like a Jewish chick in Brazil who's on the lam. I think a lot of guys would be into that. Yeah, but you got to get out of here because this guy owes $70,000 in loans, in student loans. He's paying $450 a month. He's never going to catch up.
No.
The interest on a loan has got to be $1,000 a month.
Exactly.
Holy Christ.
What are we going to do?
I don't know how people do it with these student loans. I mean, the pressure that you guys are under, where you do everything right. You take out a loan, you go to college like you should, you get a job, and you can never catch up.
No.
I think it's better not to go to college.
And I had a ton of scholarships.
You did?
I had a ton of them. Yeah.
For what?
For acting.
Is that right?
Yeah, I had a lot of scholarships. Wow. I probably had 9 through the course of my...
And you still owe
yeah.
30 grand or so.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I did everything I could to get that free money, boy.
Including selling your football tickets.
Yeah, my Fog Allen Fieldhouse package.
Jesus Christ.
Now, you don't have any student loans even though you were there for a year or two?
I went to Bowling Green for 2 semesters.
Yeah.
And fortunately, my dad had done pretty well and threw some money at that. But I didn't go to 4 years worth of college or 5 years.
Right.
I went 1 year. And I didn't do that well. But I understand that, I mean, I think it's a disgrace that people in this country, like yourself, did everything right. You, you didn't go out and rob a bank. You didn't prostitute yourself. You didn't sell drugs. You got a student loan. Well, I'm not talking exactly about you on all accounts here. And then you're burdened with this, with $30,000 worth of debt. Every time you wake up, you must be nervous as hell. Where a lot of people your age and your friends in Kansas who didn't go to college, who don't have that burden, are probably doing pretty well. They probably have a house and they got a couple of kids.
Oh, they do have houses.
Yeah.
They have houses and cars and everything.
Right.
And families.
Right.
It's not, not the lifestyle, but everybody teach their own.
Yeah, but eventually... It's something, there's something comforting about that.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe
he does have a house. He's got, 2-story house. Doesn't have to worry about bills.
Yeah.
You got a car. Maybe you have a above ground pool with an aqua bug that cleans it out.
When's the last time you were in Wichita? Cause you're hitting this right on the head.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not from there, but that's close enough.
Yeah, but I think there's something nice about, getting to a point in your life where you can just take a deep breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have $30,000 worth of student loans. You don't have a credit card that's, banging around $9,000-$10,000. And it's nice. I mean, it's just a nice, relief. I know because I was $120,000 in debt.
Oh my God.
To the IRS.
Unbelievable.
I owed the IRS an S load of money and I paid them. I gambled early on life that I would make enough money to pay them off.
So to speak.
That's the one gamble that actually worked.
Oh, Lord.
But speaking of gambling and speaking of not being able to call the horses at Santa Anita, I can't tell you in a 2-horse race who's going to come in first and second. I couldn't bet the place on a 2-horse race. But I was the first person that I heard on the radio say that woman who carved the B, had a B carved in her face, the letter B, and she said a 6'4" black guy had kicked her ass and then carved that in her face. I said it was a fake.
Yeah.
And before anybody did. and everybody
people
else
said, how dare you, Tim?
That's right. I got email, you know, she's a victim. How dare you go on the air and say she's a fraud? CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC all ran it as the story was authentic and true. And I said, no, there's something suspicious here. And I nailed it. That woman is a fraud, and she should go to jail for as long as he would have gone to jail.
Oh, yeah.
She should be in jail. Whatever the charges are going to be brought up against that the black guy that doesn't exist, they should put her in jail for the same period of time.
Now, Tim, why did she do it?
Because she's a, because she's mentally unstable.
Yes!
She's looking for, I mean, you saw her.
Yeah.
She looks like she was overweight.
51-50.
Yeah, she looked like she was a little crazy. I mean, she's coming from Texas to campaign for McCain in Pittsburgh. I mean, who the Christ does that? Who has a big enough Jones for a candidate that you leave your state to go and campaign for him?
Jesus Christ.
God almighty.
Is McCain finally like, honey, please, you want me to, don't help.
Well, you know, McCain called her. And so did Sarah Palin.
Oh.
They both called her to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry this happened. And Obama put out a statement saying that this guy should be apprehended and thrown in jail and prosecuted. And it's all a fake.
Now what?
It is all now. And now
do they get to call her back?
I don't know, but she's in jail now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's incarcerated.
Well,
all right, what else is going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, finally in the news tonight, Dr. Phil, the afternoon talk show doctor, has officially come out against texting while driving. Once again, something Tim Conway Jr. has done first.
Thank you.
Giving his audience information about how dangerous texting is while driving, Dr. Phil gave out some sobering statistics.
All right, here we go. Dr. Phil, everybody.
The truth is, if a car swerved in front of you or somebody stopped real quickly or whatever, your reaction time would be down 35%. Your controllability of the car would be down 91%.
Wow.
That's more than if you're drinking. It's more than if you're smoking dope. You would have 9% control of your car and a 35% reduced reaction time.
Jesus.
You're
Christ.
In.
Is he saying put down the cell phone and pick up the bong?
Yes.
Is that what he's saying?
I think what, basically, if you can read between the lines, he said, have a six-pack.
Yeah.
Take a couple of
Jesus
hits.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe pop a Vicodin, and just don't text.
Thank God
Kevin
that...
fools.
Thank God that finally drunk driving, you know, yeah. has a tiny, tiny bit of good pub. You know?
Is that what that is, though?
I think it's not terrible publicity, and I think we'll take that. You know,
so
it's a small victory.
Is there going to be a Matt group now?
Mothers Against Texting?
Yes.
I hope there's not, but I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a group coming out and saying, I almost got killed by a guy texting the other day. I was on Burbank and Reseda, and the light had turned green, so I was about to go. But I always look now
right,
to see if anyone, I don't trust these lights, and I don't trust the drivers. So I look, and this big red truck flies through the intersection, and he's texting. Never sees anybody. He's going 50 miles an hour, and went through a red light that was red for about 3 or 4 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And thank God nobody was killed. It was a young lady with her daughter, and they're about to cross the street, and they would have been wiped out.
Did she just yank her back by the neck?
No, but she's. I honked, and a couple other people honked, and she stood there on the curb, and she could have been wiped out right in front of me.
That is unbelievable.
Just because a guy, wanted to text his a-hole buddy, hey, I'm going to be 5 minutes late.
God.
And somebody's going to lose their life.
A lot later than that. And also, I don't even stand, when I'm walking somewhere, I don't even stand close to the curb on the corner.
I don't either anymore.
Because I had a bad thing happen to me on the curb, but it was to try and save me. Because when I first moved here, you kind of, put your feet on the street and you put your feet on the curb and you kind of skip around on it while you're waiting. My brother, when I moved here, and again, I was like 25, pulled me back by my ponytail and starts yelling at me. Says, don't you ever in L.A. stand that close to a curb. Trust me. People are drinking lattes. They're playing their guitar while they're driving. You get back from that damn curb.
Yeah. And, when you're in the crosswalk, you think that there's a steel fence up around you.
Like a force field.
Yeah, it's not. And you've got to look out. And even when you're crossing with a light, you've got to look both ways. You got to keep looking at traffic. You got to stare the guy in the face who's coming up. Make sure he sees you.
Yeah, very important.
Because these people just walk across the street and think, oh, it's a crosswalk as a walk sign. I'm going to read my paper and go.
Don't do it.
You're going to get killed. And it happens every day in Los Angeles. Yeah. It doesn't happen in Boston and New York because those people are responsible for their own lives. And they have to look around because they know what can happen.
Absolutely.
But out here, everybody's so casual.
That's the thing. I just moved here from New York. I thought, what's the difference? Huge difference.
Yes.
And I've noticed a lot of cars playing Frogger with the people as opposed to the other way around. So you know how you've talked about this before. You walk through a crosswalk and a car cannot break that crosswalk until the person is on the other side of the street, right?
That's right. That's the
rule. I see people trying to cut it just real close to the person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do it, too, though.
Do you? Oh,
yeah,
that scares me too much.
If somebody's walking fairly slowly, I try to...
Give them a little rev?
I give them the wind of the Subaru. And they hear it or they feel it. Because there's one thing that I think you should be able to... there's two things that I think you should be able to do when it comes to a murder. I think you should be able to get away. If you're coming southbound on Laurel Canyon and you have to wait in line to cross Mulholland.
Right.
And somebody cuts you off, somebody goes around and doesn't wait in that line.
Yep.
You should be able to shoot that person. Not kill them, but you should be able to shoot a gun into that car to make sure that they know that you did something wrong and get off scot-free. Now... The LAPD has a different vibe on it, and you're going to go to jail for a long time if you do it. But that's the one thing where I think you should be able to knock somebody out.
I hate cutters.
I don't hate them except for that area.
Yeah.
When you got to wait in line, and you're burning up your clutch because you're on that hill, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody cuts you off and saves, what, 3 minutes?
But, Tim, you've never cut on that little...
On that
right
one,
there.
On that one, I got to tell you, I have never done that.
Really,
yeah,
I have
never done it because I think I could be killed and the guy could get off scot free.
Yeah,
you know, and also people walk slowly through the crosswalk. Those are the two groups I have no patience.
Well, you know what I do during a crosswalk, which is actually slower than walking briskly, but just to show them that I care, I do the courtesy jog.
Right.
It's slow, but it shows them that at least I'm trying.
Yeah. You got to keep moving.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on in that news, Gina?
That's what's happening.
All right.
Tim.
The news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
I got gonorrhea from Gina.
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll fill it with words.
I don't know if that's edited or if that's true. All right. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We are live on 97.1 FM Talk.
One.